You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Welcome back to Why I Make Music. This is episode 2 of the podcast Why I Make Music. I'm Think Tim. Why I Make Music is a podcast that is basically asking the question or making the statement, why make music? Music is something that everyone has in their life. Everyone has their own favorite playlist. Everyone has their favorite artists, their favorite style of music to listen to. Everyone hums, sings along, air guitar, beatboxes, bang on tables, you know. We all have music in us. In this podcast, we're going to talk about the influences that I have for the reason why I make music. Like I said, my name is Think Tim, and I am the curator of this podcast. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to our first episode last week. It was a great response. I was very, very humbled by the fact that many people tuned in and listened to the things that I had to say. We're going to keep it very light. I'm a little bit more organized week number 2. So, this week we're going to talk about early influences. We're going to speak on a question that I had to fill out in one of those bio forms for some streaming service that basically said, what was your earliest memory of music? Well, I mentioned before that I'm not a professional musician. I'm not a professionally trained musician. I am a hobbyist. I've been playing music for the majority of my life. Just something I do around the house. Back in the day, I had a few bands. I was always into music production at home, so forth and so on. I know this might sound repetitive, but I do understand that we might have first-time people listening, so they might want to know a little bit about me. So each episode, I might go into a little situation where I should explain and reintroduce myself again. In the background, playing is one of my older tracks done with live instruments. Most of the time I do compose with, I do make music. I won't say compose, but I'm not like a composer like that. But I normally use FL Studios, Apple Logic Pro, Akai devices, you know, basic regular things that most people have nowadays. Technology. That's the thing. Best plug in the world. Technology. So, as I was saying, my first experience with music, or my first memory of music, was when I was a young guy, and basically, my grandmother had a house. It was more like an apartment, but it was like the whole first floor, so it was kind of chill at the time. In the 70s, not to date myself again, but my uncle was in a band. So we're talking, he was in his, I guess, late teens, early 20s, and I was under the age of 3, I'm assuming, somewhere around there from my memory. But his band used to rehearse in my grandmother's living room. Now, when I'm talking band, I'm talking full set of drums, bass player, 2 guitar players, I would say keyboard players, but back then they were basically just organs, you know, like no synthesizers that we know of nowadays. Tambourine players, you know, singers, background singers, and a crazy horn section. I say crazy horn section because my uncle, he played the trombone, and he played the trombone very, very well. And he also sung, and for a little guy, he had a very deep baritone voice, and he would do the falsetto thing, you know, it was the 70s. And that was his recreation, and that was my first experience being around music. Of course, I've always, as everyone, you tend to listen to things, you know, like I grew up in an era where there were TV shows on every Saturday, and they would have the guest artist of the week, and you would look and you're listening to it. Fortunately enough, I was around when hip-hop jumped off. I was paying attention to the tail end of disco, you know. So I never shied away from any particular genre of music. So when it came time for me to want to make music, I kind of made music that was reflective of everything else going on. So, in the background of all the podcasts, you will hear music. This is my tracks. These are old tracks. The tracks are all done by myself, so there are no samples to be cleared. These are not necessarily tracks to be published or tracks that were published. These are just tracks as I'm going through my hard drive and I'm pulling things up, and it's going to be a good time. So, once again, let me welcome you to episode number 2 of Why Make Music. And in the last week, what I've discovered that this situation of trying to be a musical person and trying to get your music heard could be a very, very busy, time-consuming thing. But I love it, so I can't complain about it. And fortunately enough, my life is structured so that I have time to spend doing this. Like I said, I record from home. I take care of my other responsibilities, and then I spend time getting this in. So this week, what has gone on and transpired was that I was supposed to take part in an event, which I had to cancel my involvement due to conflicting scheduling. I think I might be missing out, but at the same point, you have to do what you have to do, because like I said, this is not my gig and I am not necessarily drawing a paycheck for this, so therefore my obligations have to be fit around real life. So with that being said, I also had the opportunity to try my best to experiment and go further and deeper into social media. Social media is such a interesting tool to use in this day and time because it is the platform that most people use to connect. And when it comes to me, I'm not saying I'm a recluse or an introvert, because I think most creative people will claim that they are, but at the same point, the fact of creating means that you do want to somewhat share. So, what I've been doing is I've been reaching out and I am trying my best to build a musical community. Some place where you can go and you can talk, and I've been trying to find my place on social media platforms that are engaging and are not necessarily filled with negativity. And by no means am I saying I'm an overly positive person, by no means, but I just feel as though that it's best if you're being creative and you're sharing. I'm like, you're not going to like everything, and everybody's not going to like you, and there's nothing wrong with hearing criticism, but sometimes I realize that in 2024, there is a lot of people with a lot of opinions that don't necessarily do anything, you know, so it's very interesting, more or less. But anywho, so what I've been doing is that I've been trying not to flood people's timelines with spam. I've been trying to post regularly and make it be interesting quality stuff that might catch your interest, might not catch your interest. But it's a learning process. As I say, it's a learning process. I want to go back to the earlier days of influences of music. So in episode number one, I basically said that we're going to keep it above board, nothing negative to say. So I just want to speak on the fact that the things that influence you, the people that mold the way you think or the music you want to listen to, they're very important. Music should have a longevity that hangs around and lingers. And those who influence me, when I do listen to music, you take a deep dive into their catalogs and you lose yourself and you sit back and you think, like, wow. Like, I know as someone who I said, like, oh, I'm not a trained musician. I am not a person who took music lessons or knows everything about music theory and whatnot. But sometimes the simplest two or three chords could capture every emotion that you want to feel. And as you're listening to it, it takes you. It takes your memories. It allows you to relax. It allows you to want to create. I want to know, for those who are listening, like, I don't know how you guys feel about commenting on, I guess, whatever platform you're listening to, the comment box or the comment chat scenario, and leave questions. I'll check back in. I want to know, what were you influenced by? What were you listening to that got you interested in making music, or got you interested in listening to a particular artist? Today, I see that after the world being shut down for a while, that live shows have made a comeback very, very strong. I think that's kind of like a twofold scenario because, people were really looking forward to going back out and performing, and audiences wanted to go see their favorite artists. But I also think that during COVID, during a time that we all had to be isolated in our homes, that it's been such a boom on music that people started getting their music from other scenarios that weren't necessarily what we would call in the early 2000s, late 90s, late 80s, definitely the traditional pathway that music was put out. So now you have so many people, so many young, talented people that are putting out music.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Without any type of restraints. And that goes from pop to hip hop to R&B, K-pop, popular in America. I'm not sure how it originated, but it seems like it is a very marketable scenario of sound that is very familiar and hit at you in such a way that it comes at you and it's kind of infectious. I ain't gonna lie to you. There are a lot of new artists that are very self-contained. By self-contained, I mean that basically they are writing and producing full-fledged albums that are winning awards, that are critically acclaimed, and they are basically writing these projects in their homes. And fortunately enough, because of technology, media, social platforms, you realize, like, if I say this, I'm gonna sound like I'm old, but everybody has basically a whole entire documenting crew in your phone that you can videotape, audio tape, record everything that you want to do. And these young, talented people are basically recording their whole entire process and then sharing it with us after the fact. And I'm so proud of them because they are basically taking control over their music and their future. And hopefully we have come to a point in life that we won't be having this argument that this is music that we made that a third party, a larger conglomerate of folks who don't write or play music are taking the majority share of the money. I say that as I am trying to understand the whole entire streaming process and streaming revenue, which is very, very crazy, because basically, from my understanding, the rough version of this is, if you were to stream a million, if you were to have a million streams, I think your payout for a million streams is somewhere around $3,500. Which is very strange. And the thing is, like, I'm nowhere near a million streams. So I'm nowhere near $3,500 as far as bringing money in, as far as music is concerned. But it's kind of hard for folks where back in the day you used to be able to sell physical albums, and the physical album might have cost $9. Go back further where it was $17 or $19, and granted, as the artist, you didn't necessarily receive the majority of it, but at least if you think about it, if you received $1 or $2, I think they broke it down into points and percentages at that time frame. If you sold a million albums and you received $1 off of every album you sold, hence, you at least had $1 million. So nowadays, when you have streaming services that basically you hear of artists doing astronomical numbers like billion streams, is a billion streams equaling up to $1 million? I'm like, if a million streams is only equaling up to under 4,000, and I think for the average person to sit back and think that a million people have listened to your material and you didn't quite get $4,000 from it, that's wild. But it's not about the money, it's about the creativity. But the thing is that with all these platforms, there's a little bit of change to be made, so it's best that you be versatile and try your best to do what you can do. If you're fortunate enough to be an artist that can go perform live, perform live. That revenue will become your revenue. You pay your expenses and you do your thing and you walk away with the bag. But streaming right now, making music and streaming music, I think it's more or less just a platform that is used to maybe be a gateway into bigger things. Like commercialism, a lot of entertainers want to have other aspirations to branch off into some type of bigger marketing scenario, which is brilliant. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm like, it was the thing that it was a by chance situation back when entertainers became spokespeople for or spokesperson for a brand, and it was kind of like, oh, coincidental. But now you assume that everybody who might mention a said brand in their project, in their music, might be eligible by some means or some way to some marketing firm that wants to further their games. Back in the 90s, I recall a situation where an artist basically openly revolted against the music industry, and at the time frame, no one seemed to really understand the severity of what the person was saying at the time. And it's so crazy that you fast forward 25 years later and the things that this person was speaking of have basically became what the music industry is today, where you can distribute your music directly to your listeners and you can make as much money as you are willing to make. But that's basically built on the fact that you do have a musical following. So I think gone are the days that you might necessarily have an A&R department, a marketing team working for you, where more or less that the more you do on your own, the more assistance you might get eventually. But I don't think that there's anyone who's particularly coming knocking on folks' doors, because like I said, the music industry currently, from my understanding and my getting into it, is very saturated with very talented people. So it's a situation that you have to work and find your spot to get in, because what you do might be the same thing that someone else does, and they might have a prettier smile than yours. They might have a cooler video than yours. They might have a better vocal range than yours. Their lyrics might be slightly different than yours. Not saying that they're better, but they might be slightly different, which is cool. I'm like, I'm down for it all. I'm like, I told you in episode one that music is what makes the world go around. It's in everything. I'm like, you really have to think about it. It's amazing. It's been a constant situation in everyone's life. Just this past week, there's been situations where folks have been using songs to gain followings and politics, and that's been a whole entire scenario that has gotten out of control. And I looked at an article the other day, and basically a major artist that had a song that wasn't necessarily doing great, all of a sudden, just because it was aired during a certain period of time, the sales have went through the roof. And it's hard to talk about music and not talk about the marketing part of it. But that's not the reason why I make music, because I realize that sometimes I think that I just want to share. I just want to put it out there a little bit, and I just want to be able to generate that buzz, or maybe even stimulate someone else's creativity. I'm a very realistic person, so I cannot sit back and say that I think that the reason why people make music is solely to get paid. I think music is something that is in you. If you think about the history of music, if you go back in time, I'm sure you come across people who use music to communicate. Drums from a distance, whistles, howling. It's all very tribal and very, I guess, natural to make music. The rhythm in which one speaks, the rhythm of a dialogue from certain cultures are musical. Accents kind of flow. You listen to people talk and it can kind of mesmerize you. It's funny to think about that, because I like to consume information. And I say consume information because when I was younger, I read a lot. I wasn't like overread or anything like that, but with the popularity of audiobooks, just to sit back and listen to information being disseminated, whether it be entertaining or whether it be factual, just the intake information, hours at a time, is a great way to do it. And the way the person's voice flows as they say the words in the book. And a lot of times, it's not the person who wrote the book that is reading or quote-unquote narrating the book. And the time it takes and the effort they put into a steady flow to draw you in, it's perfect. It's why I make music. It's something that you cannot necessarily put your finger on. So, another influence I had was a painter. And I tend to like people who do their own thing. I'm not saying that if you could recreate an image one to one, it's excellent. It's perfect. I'm like, it is what it is. But you need to be able to put your spin on it. And that's also part of music. If you sit back and think about the first time you were introduced to a musical instrument, the first time that you stood in school or in that place that you go, I guess folks do the church thing and they might be introduced to music through that, or your school or your recreation center or your community center or your family events, family gatherings, gathering around the piano, singing songs during the holidays. It gives you a good feeling. Tell me, if you're listening, what are your favorite songs to sing? If you had to, because I know karaoke is a big thing, when you go up there and you grab the mic, what's your go-to song? What do you like to sing? And when you sing, are you singing because you enjoy it? And are you singing because you enjoy the reaction that people give you when you sing? When you play an instrument, when you play a song, when you play something, if you're a songwriter, what's your thrill? What's your turn on? What's your thing that gets you out there? Is it the fact that you're playing the song that you like and you see other people reacting to it and it makes you...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to play it better? And more so, go rehearse it. So this way, the next time you do it, you're like, oh, wait till I do this. And I'll throw them a little bit more this way. What are the things that gets you going? It's crazy that there are so many folks that sit back and really say, because I've been asking a few people lately in conversation, because I need material, because I'm like, yo, I have a podcast and it's called Why Make Music, and I'm like, so why do you make music? And then people are like, I don't make music, man. Tim, I don't do this. Like, not everyone makes music. People consume music, people listen to music, people don't necessarily dissect music. I thought that was a normal thing that everyone did. But It's cool because I say that because I've had the opportunity to watch people form musical taste. And I've witnessed that sometimes there's a point in one's life where you just stop consuming new things. You know, you stop consuming new sounds. And I say that because this takes me back to my earlier memory of music. As much as I like the music that I make, I love live music. I feel as though there's nothing better than a band. That's just my personal taste. But at the same point, I rarely record with the things that I really, really like. And I'm not gonna lie to you. Sometimes when I make music, I have to listen to it later. Like, I love it at the moment, and then I move on to the next thing, and then I have to come back to it and revisit it, and then I see what was good about it. It's a weird thing. Like I said, this is episode 2, and today our topics were basically talking about your early influences and what's your first memory of making music. Like I said, being a kid and growing up in the 80s, there were tons of music shows. There were video shows. Now it's like, it's funny because the major video stations, every now and again, when I flip by it, I just turn it on to see if there's a music video on there. Then I'll watch it for a couple minutes. But when I was younger, I remember there was a time that basically there was a television show that came on like weekly at 11:30, and it basically showed 4 videos, and then it went off, and then you had to wait again till like Friday night after all the talk shows went off to watch another video show that basically just showed the same 4 videos plus maybe 4 or 5 more within a time frame. And eventually time moved on and cable TV became prevalent, and there were more music stations that were available. And the thing is that we were so limited and so structured to watch and listen to the same thing that you had to know that there was more music out there. So when I was listening to my favorite artists back in the day, I always figured, like, I was thinking, I'm like, you know, you're young and you're thinking like, oh my God, I like this. This is great. Oh, this guy is really killing it. This girl is really doing what she's doing, and da, 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 da. And in my head, I was always thinking like, yo, there has to be more. This person, these people just can't be putting out this album and then all of a sudden they drop a video, they drop a single. And back then, albums and singles stayed up for a good while. It wasn't like, oh, you got 3 and 4 things. You had to buy the album. I'm like, I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, some of the greatest albums of all time, they have no more than 12 songs on them. And those 12 songs, maybe 6 of them are really good. And maybe 2 or 3 are great, and then 1 was a big major hit, and that had to last you for a year because the person had to basically put out the album, do commercial press, so forth and so on, prior to videos. I guess they did shows or whatever, they did little live performances, and then with the advent of videos and then touring and whatever. So they would stretch out an album and a single for 6-7 months, an album a year, album year and a half, 2 years. Nowadays, I'm not gonna lie to you. Hell, my first project I put out couple weeks ago were my full project of the EP that had 9 tracks, which could have been an album back in the day by itself, had 26 tracks on it. When you think of an album, what's 26 songs on an album that was wax? That was what, side A, side B, side C, side D, E, F, I don't know. Like, it's crazy. One young lady put out an album recently, and I think it had close to 30 songs on it after it was reissued, surprisingly, the first night that it came out. It's insane that you can do it. I'm like, it's insane. It's very good. I love it. I love the freedom. If ever you're thinking about how much music can be put out, Google this. Use your internet, use your search bar, and find out what's the record for how many songs are on an album. And you'll be shocked with the answer, but there is a crazy reason and meaning behind the answer. It's one of those don't let the number count fool you. It's somebody playing a statistics game, and it's amazing how that goes, but then it's going to go down in history as the album with the most songs on it, because it hit a point that it hit the mark. It hit the specifications exactly. So, my question to you is for this week, so next week we can follow up on this. And I hope that you communicate, comment with me, talk to me, hit me up on ThinkTim at Instagram, hit me up at ThinkTim on Twitter, hit me up on YouTube. These podcasts are now going to be released on YouTube also, so I haven't got to the point yet where I've started implementing video as of yet, but you can listen to it on YouTube. I know not everyone does the podcast thing on the podcast platforms or on the RSS distribution site, but everywhere that you could locate anyone that you're looking for, type in ThinkTim at your favorite social media account and hit me up on one of something. I'm like, you know how it goes. It's like you leave a comment. I can see it. I'll answer back. I'll hit it back. I'll follow you. You know, tell me what you like. Tell me what music you like. Like I said, this is our second podcast. We are growing. This is something that's going to be good. We're going to grow a nice community where people can interact and talk about their influences. I know once again I probably got way off track and was rambling, but I think I enjoy this. This is something that I can do, and I enjoy sharing sounds and sharing ideas with you. Tell me, what was the first concert that you went to, and how did that make you feel? Here's a good question for you. Live music. Since that was my earliest memory, live music. What was the first concert that you went to? I'm going to be honest with you. Outside the live music that I heard in my house or heard at my grandmother's house, the first live concert I went to was with my grandmother. And I guess I had to be maybe my early teens or whatever. And it was a function, and we took a ride out to a venue, and I saw an older artist perform, and to this day I still like that artist because of that. And the woman, she's very talented, she sung, and we got back home, and I recall my grandmother saying, oh, because the show was early enough that we ended up getting back home, and it was on the local news, and they interviewed the woman on the local news. And my grandmother was like, yo, Tim, look at this. That's who we just saw. And I didn't recognize the woman because without her makeup on, she looked completely different. She looks just like a normal person. I'm like, she looked so much like a superstar when she was on stage and she was doing her thing. But then when she was doing an interview for the local media, She looked just like an everyday person. And I think that stuck with me because I was like, that's the road you could choose. You could choose to be a genuine person. And sometimes you just have to put your work clothes on and go out there and do your job. And then when you're off, you're off. But then at the same time, I do love the ones who are completely them all the time, that they are completely themselves, or you find yourself in your music. And that's why you make music. You know, like, you got to realize that sometimes people look at music like it's a job. Sometimes you do it because you know, you don't know how not to do it. And it's like, I feel like if I could influence the future to tell folks to, no matter what it is that you want to do or that you think you can do, you do it, and you do it to the fullest. You do it to a point that it satisfies you. You know, like, it's one of those things, like, I understand sometimes people think that the world's going backwards, but think about it. If everyone took care of themselves the way that they critique or mind other people's business, how much greater things could possibly be if you just basically took care of your area? You took care of, like, what if you decided, like, oh, I'm going to make sure I make sure my area is cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, what if you just cleaned up in front of your crib? What if you just cleaned up in front of your house? You kept your lawn manicured. You kept your backyard straight. And everybody did that. What if you cleaned off your stoop? You cleaned off your stairwell? You cleaned off your porch? You know, you picked up your trash. It could be something. So that's why I say, like, why don't you make your music? Pick up an instrument. Find some software on your phone. You could download programs on your phone that can make beats. You could sing into your phone, sing into your message. Listen to the things that you create. Create the things you want to create based upon those who influenced you. See how that sounds. Maybe you to then somehow influence another person. And it's not a situation of being influenced to influence the masses. What if you could just influence the people in your home, the people that know you, that would sit back and say, damn, I knew this guy. I didn't know he could do that. And he's taking his time and he's trying. You know, there's nothing wrong with trying. There's nothing wrong with trying to do something. There's nothing wrong with trying to express yourself. There's nothing wrong with trying to be expressive. There's so many people in the world. Everybody has emotion. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants to share. I don't think really people really mean harm. That's just me. But once again, this is episode 2. Why Make Music. And I am Think Tim, THINKTIMM. Thank you for joining in, and thank you for listening. Please like and subscribe to this podcast. I'm going to keep it going. Next week, we're going to do something new. We're going to do something different. I'm going to probably debut my introduction piece next week. That will be episode 3. I'm feeling better about doing this and I'm enjoying it. I hope that I'm not too much of a bore or a nag or drag. You know, shout out to the people who know what a double drag fool is. But anywho, as I like to say, Think Tim at Instagram, Twitter, Reddit, TikTok, I haven't quite got into yet. I do have a TikTok account, but TikTok makes me nervous. I don't know how that stuff works. Check me out. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Thank you for listening again. And you guys, be good. Peace.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.